Live from the Quicken Loans studios, I am Jim Rome. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Starting hour number two, which is wide open. And starting hour number two with an email response to Rex in Albuquerque. Seems to me a lot of people in Albuquerque do not want Rex in Albuquerque to represent them. Pimp in the tube is how this one starts. Pimp in the tube. Seriously, the guy who calls into a national radio show to let millions of people know how eating a lava cake sent his bowels into chaos and turmoil is criticizing a guy for how he takes care of his body. Oh, okay. That's rich. Tony in Albuquerque, avoiding all Applebee's, Chili's, and public restrooms because of Rex. If somebody else in Albuquerque wants to step up and represent the ABQ, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. Until then, he's your dude. And he's speaking for all of you, even if you are an Original Four affiliate. He is your best caller. He is your most important caller. He is your best chance for somebody to get into the smack off. Keep that in mind. If you don't like that, step up right now. All right. Again, normally this is where I come out and I lay out some long form rant and I get off and I get nice with it. But I'm a momentum guy. When we're doing well on the calls, I don't mind going to you. Normally my take is more of me and less of you is good for the program. But when you're on a heater, when you're feeling it, I'll play the hot hand. Listen, I've got a queen showing. Every card that I'm dialing up right now is good. I'll play this thing as long as I can. Back to the phones. Speaking of Albuquerque, let's try it. As I mentioned, every time Rex calls, I get tweets and emails from people in Albuquerque saying, come on, Rome, stop talking to the guy. We're not like that guy. We don't want that guy. He's not repping us. Let's find out. Lance in Albuquerque. Back to the phones. Lance, how are you? What's going on?
Good day, Jim Rome. Nice to hear your voice. I haven't called in since you've been here with our live concert, it seemed like. It was awesome. Jungle Karma was strong that day, and we talked about Johnny Toppy and stuff, but I need to ask you a favor, my longtime friend. I feel like you're part of my family. I've listened to you so much more than my own mother. Don't let that idiot Rex represent us, please. I mean, there's got to be some better callers. I asked 610, the station here, to have a smack-off before anybody is allowed to. They should be able to call the station and then call you. Don't call Jim Rome's show. I mean, we need to be able to filter out idiots here. People get the wrong impression of us here. Yes, you got a guy coming up a little while from Albuquerque. There's Foster. There's a sports guy. Johnny Toppy, me and you's talked about. That's a sports guy. Danny Romero, Bones Jones. Holy Holm crushed Ronda Rousey's career in her face, right there with her stinky face in her face. It's just great. You know, if my temper is bad, you could tell. That's why I'm not a regular caller, because I'm not the typical caller you have in, because a lot of people that call in, you know, I'd like to smack right in the mouth. But anyway, just please don't let that. Maybe that's what we should do for bad callers. Have a, you know, in each city, have a smack off to where, you know, we could, you know, represent our city and state well. That's
I got you. Let me jump in. Lance, my man, I appreciate you. Good looking out, Lance. Thank you very much. You're a good dude. And you're right. When I did that tour stop there, you and I talked about Johnny Tapia. All right, so what Lance is saying is, listen, I really don't have a reason to call the program. I've got a temper. I'm not like your other callers. But I got to jump in right now and say, do not let this idiot call anymore. Do not let this idiot Rex represent us, because people are going to get the wrong impression of us. We're a good town. We've got good athletes from this town. I don't want everybody thinking that we're like that guy, because we're not. He's an idiot. Don't let him call, Rome. And he said that he called his local affiliate and said, make him play his way in. I understand. Listen, this is the way it's been for this show for a long, long time. There are a lot of people getting on the air and calling. This is why I've tried so hard to limit the calls to the program. This is another way why this show is different. We don't bang telephone calls all day long. I determined very early in my radio life, if I turn my career and my fate over to the callers, I wouldn't have much of a career or a life. This is by design. And to this notion about Albuquerque, Albuquerque's a hell of a good town. It's a very important town to me. An Original Four affiliate. We're on the same station. We've been in that same market. They were one of our first four. I had a tour stop and an appearance in Albuquerque. It was a great day. I love it. There's a dude in Albuquerque with a tattoo of me on his leg. Albuquerque is very important to me. Now, having said that, I understand why a lot of you in that town don't want Rex front and center repping you. The bad news is, I think the guy's a pretty good caller. I really do. I think the guy could be a very good caller if that's what he decides he wants to be. But when Rex calls the program and says things like, "Hey, Romy, I went to Morton's and I had the lava cake, and the result was pretty much what you'd expect, diarrhea." You know, Rex, that's not a good call. It's not going to get you racked. It's not going to get you into the smack off. Just decide what you want to be, Rex. Decide what you want to be. If you want to be that guy, go right ahead. Understand you'll never be in the big arena. You'll never be on the big stage. And probably your own will be killing you. I just wonder if these same people that are killing him in Albuquerque would have a different take if the guy made it to the smack off and got a top 10, got a top 5. Hell, maybe rip the thing. JC in Calgary tweets, "The fine folks of the ABQ need to worry less about Rex and a little more about their meth addiction." Well, that is Breaking Bad. It is in Albuquerque, and the show is about meth. Albuquerque, you tell me, what is more insidious in your community? Meth or Rex? Meth or Rex? What is the greater killer? What is more insidious? What would you rather be known for less? Rex or meth? I want to hear somebody addicted to meth. It's insidious. It's the silent killer. Rex is the verbal audio killer.
So I got the molten chocolate lava cake.
Or meth. All right, JC, thanks. Albuquerque is suddenly a topic. Rex has put Albuquerque on the map once again. Anybody else? Can we keep this thing going? We're on a roll with the telephone calls. Do I go to you or do I stay with me? What the hell? Now, this guy's been trying to get through. And the fact that he hasn't got through is not a function of, I don't want him to get through. I've just been busy. I've got lots to talk about every single day. So I haven't kept this guy on the side intentionally. It just worked out that way. But today is a call day. I'm banging telephone calls. I'm rolling telephone calls. Let's keep the streak going. We go to Louisiana. Trey in Louisiana. Trey, you did it. You made it in. What's going on, Trey? How are you?
Fine. Thanks for the vine, Pimp. It's been a long road, brother. I've been listening to you for over 20 years. I've had your show with my cold, dead hands and more than once. But all that's over now, Jim. And now that the jungle's on TV, I'm noticing an aspect of your show that I really never thought about. And that's your minions behind the glass. Now, we see the minions daily in their natural habitat. And we all know, getting off the bus, that bad callers are the hot knife and the sparrows are butter. But if you look directly behind the mathematician, you'll see a minion in desperate need of a raise, Jim. I've seen him on more than one occasion sporting that red cafeteria cup, and you know he nabbed it from Luby's or some other cafeteria, probably has a whole collection at home. And then there's a squatter. Now, the squatter's only allowed on television once a week, and I'm sure he does a fine job, Jim, but I can't look at him without thinking about that young, nervous, red-shirted ensign off Star Trek who's about to beam down to some planet with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, and you know nothing is happening to them. And then there's Alvy. Dude, I look at Alvy. I just want to mail him a sandwich. The elf needs food badly. And speaking of food, Pimp, I'm sitting here on my days off watching the jungle, eating lunch, and it occurs to me that lunch of the monkey, ain't got nothing on lunch with a pip in the box. War Rex and Albuquerque's father-in-law for letting him borrow his Rolex so little Rexy could pose with it. And unwore any lazy, sneaky, big government-loving, malnourished, frail little Canadians of even thinking themselves worthy of handing Rich Ackerman a snot rag. And wore Leffen Laguna's marching band, jugglers, and mimes not being able to fit into Romy's studio for the smack-off. And last but not least, Romy, wore Professor Silk addressing all of his female students and his own mother. Look, brah, I'm Udo Agni.
Trey, gotta rack him. All right, Trey, nice job. He just obliterated the XR4 Ti. Hey, Adam, why don't you join me for a minute? Let's try and decode exactly what he said. That was Louisianan for, if I'm not mistaken, he took a run at James Kelly, the squatter. He
called him the squatter that shows up once a week and equated his forehead to something you would see on Star Trek.
So I was going to say, that was forehead smack, right?
Forehead smack on James Kelly, who's not even here right now and is only here once a week and hasn't been here in 2 weeks. So he's been sitting on that one.
All right, so he's sitting on that. Alvin was the elf, right? He needs something to eat?
He's a malnourished orphan, according to Trey.
Okay, and Keith is poor.
Because he uses a cafeteria cup, which has been on TV multiple times. It's a red cup from a restaurant that you would see. It's the Coca-Cola logo's all washed out.
He's got a matching set, apparently. What about you in Dallas? Did you guys not take any fire?
Dallas was spared, and something about I'm the knife to the bad caller's butter. I didn't understand that, but I liked it. It was poetic.
All right, so Trey in Louisiana, we finally let him in. Probably should have let him in sooner. That was a good call. All right, it's a good call day. Hawk's one of the minions on the other side of the glass, so I want him to help me decode that call. Good job, Trey. Well done. We got ourselves a little call day here, don't we? Notice that I'm not doing my thing. I'm turning it over to you. This only happens a few times a year. Can anybody else keep this thing going? We've got some momentum. Or, to quote somebody, it's your show. You take it over. War, that orphan needs food. I am dead. Signed, Blake in Birmingham. Trey, my man, he's been sitting on that call for 20 years. He says he's been listening for 20 years, every single day at lunch. In fact, he had told Hawk that what he does is he rolls his rig, gets to a spot where he's got the best connection, best connectivity, where he can make the best phone call, and he sits there with a classic Coke, and he listens, and he listens, and he listens until it's time to get nice, until it's time to come with his own lava, his own fire. And then he did. Louisiana, Trey, somebody else. Keep this thing going. 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying to get to my take on the Raptors coming from ahead and going into the tank again. Cavaliers rip game one. Drake v. Perk. Leave it alone, Aubrey. You don't want any part of that. Really weird night in H-Town. Caps with a win over the Penguins. Smashville beaten. You're all coming for me. And the Smack-Off itself. Today's theme is we talk about the Smack-Off. Who is the best ever not to win that thing? Best ever caller not to win it. We see it in sports all the time. Best ever not to win a major. Best ever not to win a championship. Best ever not to get it done. In the Smack-Off, who is the best ever not to win it? We'll cover that too. John Lynch, next hour. Josh Jackson, next hour. And if we keep rolling like this, more telephone calls. Look, I know plenty of you had a bad night. Normally I say so because I can tell from your telephone calls. Not today. The calls are good. But that doesn't mean your tweets are. I'm reading them. I can tell you didn't sleep well last night. You're not sharp. And if I had to guess, the reason you did not sleep well last night is because somebody close to you snores. Or because you snore. It's all about to change thanks to the revolutionary Zipa device. I've been talking about this every single day. Because the Zipa is a game changer. You see, if you snore, you're not sleeping. If you're not sleeping, you're not succeeding. I don't care who you are, you need to sleep. If you want success, you've got to sleep. You've got to be sharp. You've got to be at your best. Zipa is the solution. Zipa is the only snoring solution of its kind. If you snore, you need to get a Zipa. So go to ZYPPAH.com. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Zipa.com, get yourself a Zipa. Remember, ZYPPAH, ZYPPAH, Zipa, it is a revolutionary snoring device. Get the great sleep you need and deserve with a Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My man Trey is killing it. The clones love Trey. Got ourselves, I'm not going to say a little Smack-Off broke out, but we are having a big caller day. Some quick reaction. At Eric Grand Rapidian tweets, rack the bleep out of Trey. My girl Tracy at PHX Nola Girl. She tweets, Trey in Louisiana. Hashtag Louisiana proud. Silk Bra is in. Tell Trey I don't call my mom Bra. My sister, on the other hand, fake Kellen Winslow tweets, put Trey in Louisiana in the smack off. You know, if he makes another call or two like that, he's in for sure. At the Sinful Chef tweets, watching you for the first time today. Adam Hawk's mustache is even worse than I thought. Romy, can you keep the camera off him? It hurts my eyes. Got that, Hawk? That's from the Candy Queen. Yeah, I can keep the camera off him or zoom in. If you watch, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there's Hawk making love to the camera or himself. Come on, Hawk. Stop being a bag, man. No, I can't. That's the problem. I cannot do that. I've got no control whatsoever of the cameras. Not the ones in my studio, not the one or ones in the control room. Sinful Chef, the Candy Queen. Anybody else? In case you missed it, Alvin, if you dialed AM this up, Trey in Louisiana made a phone call, and everybody's tripping on that. He came in and said, I've listened for 20 years. I haven't called, but I want to talk about, quote, the minions on the other side of the glass.
But if you look directly behind the mathematician, you'll see a minion in desperate need of a raise, Jim. I've seen him on more than one occasion sporting that red cafeteria cup, and you know he'd nabbed it from Luby's or some other cafeteria. Probably has a whole collection at home. And then there's a squatter. Now, the squatter's only allowed on television once a week, and I'm sure he does a fine job, Jim, but I can't look at him without thinking about that young, nervous, red-shirted ensign of Star Trek who's about to beam down to some planet with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, and you know nothing is happening to them. And then there's Alvy. Dude, I look at Alvy. I just want to mail him a sandwich. Elf needs food badly.
Mail him a sandwich because Elf needs food badly. This guy took a run at James Kelly, the squatter. He looks like one of those guys on Star Trek who's about to get beamed down as he awaits nervously. Except you know nothing's going to happen to Spock and Kirk. Trey coming at it from a different place altogether. Which brings us to the smack-off. Why are we getting good calls all of a sudden? Because it is smack-off season. Monday, I announced the date for Smack-Off 24. It's Friday, July 20th. Once again, Friday, July 20th. Do whatever you have to do to be here. Because for the first time in nearly a quarter of a century, in this event, it's going to be on TV. 24 years in, and the Smack-Off is not only still viable, still relevant, still matters, still great, it's still making history. Speaking of history, there's some history that we need to discuss. Because like every sport, there is a double-edged sword, a double-edged gloss to be worn by somebody. And that double-edged gloss is this, best never to win one. In basketball, maybe it's the mailman, and maybe it's Chuck. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Chuck. Maybe that's why Chuck doesn't like Draymond, because they're compared, because Draymond has rings. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Chuck. In baseball, Teddy Ballgame, Ty Cobb. Football, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. Golf, Ricky Fowler or Ricky Fowler. The best to never win one. I mean, it's high praise, but it's definitely a slight, without question. You're regarded as great, but you're great, and you've got a giant anvil hanging over your dome. You're great, but you're not a champion. There are some champions that aren't great, but you can be great. You can be one of the best ever and not be a champion. And I don't care what any of those guys tell you, it hurts. It hurts. Even if it's not their fault and they were never dealt the right hand and never had the right supporting cast, it still hurts. I've been around these guys a lot, and the ones that have a definite distinction between the ones that don't have, because the ones that have will always let the others who don't have know about it. They do. It matters. And the smack-off is no different. The hard part is trying to figure out who that person's going to be. All right, so in this program, who is the best to never win one? As an example, is it my man Trapper? Trapper and Dana Point. Not only a legend, but don't lose track of this fact. He's notched 6 top 10 finishes. There are guys that would kill to hit the board a fistful of times. There are guys who would kill to hit the board once. There are guys who would kill to be a part of the field. My man has been a top tenner 6 times. He's done it a fistful of times, plus a digit.
You want me on this wall. You need me on this wall. We use words like smack, racked, and made. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have spent my life defending this show. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to clowns who rise and sleep under the blanket of the very smack I provide and then question the manner in which I provide it. I'd rather you just said, thank you, Trapper, and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a phone, swing in here with the big cats, and take your shots.
So there's an argument for Trapper. Trapper might be the best to never win one. How about one of the newer clones? How about Caleb in Green Bay? Now, you might think it's way too early to call this guy one of the best or the best who's never won. Check his resume, though. 3 smack-off calls, 3 top 10 finishes. That's strong. That's consistent. That's consistently strong.
Les has somehow manipulated the clones into thinking he has great sports takes, but literally all he does is make personal appearance jokes about sports figures. Glass houses, I mean, we all do it, but let's not act like Lef calls in once a month to break down the Padres' middle infield or the Raiders' nickel package. I can just picture him at the PTA meetings with the other dads. Hey, Lef, how's it going, man? So what do you think about this LeVar Ball character, huh? Well, his teeth are yellow and crooked, am I right? but I mean, every news outlet is eager for his opinion. Do you think we'll have an effect on the Lakers moving forward? Well, his teeth are yellow and crooked. Ow! Okay, but didn't I see LaMelo pull up from half court the other day? Do you think LeVar is teaching his kids they can call their own shots in life? Well, I know where they can't call their shots. The dentist. Right. Well, this is pointless. I'm heading over to the pasta salad.
Caleb, I mean, there's no denying this guy's put himself near the top of the list for smack-off callers that have emerged at least in the last half decade, right? Maybe he's not the best to never win based on that, but then there's this guy. Check this resume. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5. If my math is correct, this guy's got 14 top 10 finishes. That's how long I've been doing this thing. I mean, he hasn't been around forever, but he's been in the top 10 14 times. That's an easy question to answer. If I were to say to you, who's the dude who finished in the top 10 14 times but has never won, you all would know it's Terrence in Sierra Madre.
But at least he's better off than poor old Steve Garvin, who has to constantly tell kids, no, I'm not your dad. I'm Steve Garvin, okay? You want Steve Garvey. He's the one who pumps chicks like a rabbit on crystal meth, not me.
Steve Garvey smack. That's how long it's been since that guy called. 14 top teners, and 2 of those were good enough for a couple of bronze medals. Now, it has been since 2010 since Terrence made a smack-off call. But he did make arguably the best cameo of all time in last year's event on Lef's winning call. Maybe we hear from this guy again. I'm just glad he's not dead. I thought he was. Maybe. Terrence, you're welcome to call. In fact, I would love it if you were to call. Hopefully you can find the show. Because when I hit him up with Terrence, where the hell have you been? I really thought you were in the ground. I thought you were in the ground. Where have you been? He literally said, when they took you off the LA station, Rome, that was it. I just didn't know where to find you. So that's all. I'm like, that's all? Literally, that's why you haven't called the show? Like in 8 years because you couldn't find it? My man, you know we're still on the air. Man, somebody get Terrence a phone. Somebody get Terrence a link. Somebody get Terrence some intel. Terrence, I need you back here. You can do this, Terrence. It'd be one of the greatest stories ever. If you came back from being six feet under and you ripped this thing from today's generation of callers, it would be one of the all-time great things ever. Maybe he trades in the best to never win gloss for a championship belt. Let me open it up to all of you. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Who's the best to never win? Do you think Terrence can find this show on July 20th? Does he have the game in 2018 to get it done? Hit me up. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Best to never win it. Do you think that Terrence can do it? Meantime, we're 79 days out. 79 days from Smack Off 24, where time and time again we found out anything at all can happen. Silk won one of these things. Chael Sonnen came out of nowhere to win one of these things. What do you think? Stucknut says, best card and never win the Smack Off, Terrence. It's not even close. If Stucknut says it. Mac Moore tweets, the best to never win a Smack Off is from Dana Point. Drop the mic. Garbage Man Brad, hands down, Mike in Indy is the best caller that has not won a Smack Off. That's a common crackback that Mike in Indy's never won. Mike has won. Mike has won. Sorta. Mikey, are you coming in this year? That's the big topic right now. Hold up, Alvy. The big question is not who's the best who never win. It's a question. It's a question. But the bigger question is, where the hell is Mike? And then the other question is, how much is Mike and Indy enjoying that I keep asking, where the hell is Mike? I'm going to answer my own question. He loves it. I haven't spoken to Mike. I haven't had any kind of contact with Mike. I have no idea what's going on with Mike. But it's Mike. Something's going on. He's not coming around. He hasn't come around since we started the simulcast. Brad and Corona came around. I afraid he came around. But no Mike and Indy. So I don't know what this guy's up to. Maybe he's out. Maybe he bounced. Or maybe he's plotting something. I don't know. Where is Mike?
I go hard in the paint because y'all can't.
You used to. You used to, Mike. You know, Mike, again, was really, really pissed that Left came in. The gimmicky little bitch that is Left gimmicked his way to another win. And Mike didn't like that at all. Mike, again, was going on, gimmick, gimmick, gimmick. Come on, man, gimmick. Never mind that Mike had a great gimmick 1 year and it worked for him, right? Anyway, that's fine. Mike, where are you at? I don't know. I'm waiting for that RSVP. I could see Mike no-showing, and I could see Mike showing up day of. I have no idea. You never know with Mike. You never know with Chael. You never know with Left. Terrence, where are you at? Somebody find Terrence and let him know the Smack-Off has been going on. It's still going on. Somebody find Jim in Fall River. Let him know. I would love to see one of these guys come back from the dead and rip it. How about that speculation that Jeff in Richmond might be looking to make a comeback? What's next? Bobby in Brooklyn? Hawk, I know you've never heard of him. Bobby in Brooklyn was like, yeah, but do you even have any audio from Bobby in Brooklyn? He was like Smack Off 1, right?
You know, Jim, it's been 2 long years since I first entered this here Jungle of Oz.
No way, that guy's from Brooklyn? He was funny, man. That was a good caller. I have no idea what that guy's up to right now. Probably 60 with grandkids. When we come back, one open segment, and then it starts to load up.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This segment's brought to you by AmericasBestRacing.net. Now, I don't know who wrote this. I did not. I'm going to own that. I did not write this billboard. It may have been Alvy. Check this. AmericasBestRacing.net. The home of the ultimate Kentucky Derby cheat sheet. The post positions and morning line odds are out today. AmericasBestRacing.net has the updated information, the hot tips, the inside takes, and more. Do you need help figuring out the superfecta bet? Chael Sonnen and Mike and Indy? They have a gambling calculator that is easy and it's quick. It does the math for both you two math whizzes. Make your gambles pay at AmericasBestRacing.net. It's the only sponsor I know who incorporates not only jungle vernacular, but clones, callers. Be careful with that, though. They're going to want compensation. If you use their name and likeness, those guys will want to be paid, I'm sure. All right, I'm still banging telephone calls, still rolling telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. San Francisco 49ers GM John Lynch, top of the hour. Green Bay Packers corner Josh Jackson right after that. You know, I haven't even laid out my thoughts on what happened to the Raptors, and I want to get to that, but I'm going to skip that for a minute and skip to the other brawl. Now, I want to make this clear, and I need time to do it. That's a bad night for Toronto, a really, really bad night for Toronto and the Raptors. They blew a double-digit lead and home court to their bully in the worst way possible. But that's not the only fight they lost. They lost another battle, Drake v. Kendrick Perkins. Now, let me get something out of the way quickly. I know that Drake is a polarizing cat. A lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. I don't really have an opinion, honestly. I don't care. I don't care either way. Drake has never done anything to me, so I'm not going to do anything to Drake. However, I will offer a piece of free advice. And that piece of free advice is this. Anybody can do anything in this world if they really set their mind to it, except intimidate Kendrick Perkins. It's not happening. Not now, not ever. But somehow, Aubrey, Drake Graham, and Kendrick Ladale Perkins got into a war of words as the teams were heading to the locker room at halftime. Kendrick said it was all very simple. Quote, I was bleeping with Serge, my old teammate. I wasn't talking to Drake. Perk then elaborated in more detail to Woj. Quote, I was telling him, we about to win this game. And Drake butted in, talking bleep to me, so I said something back to him. End quote. And what exactly did you say back, Kendrick? Quote, he said something slick, so I said something back. Quote, sit your ass down and watch the game. End quote. So let me jump in right there. If Kendrick Perkins tells me to sit my ass down and watch the game, I am sitting my ass down and watching the game. I'm sitting my ass down and watching that game better than I ever have before. Any person in their right mind is doing that. I don't care that Kendrick Perkins is not playing and wearing a suit. Kendrick Perkins is still Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins is still listed at 6'10", 270. Kendrick Perkins is still one very bad dude. The list of people in the NBA to whom I would talk smack to goes like this. One, everybody. Two, then Kendrick Perkins. And no, that's not the first time that Drake has gotten into it with the opposition. Not even the first time he's gotten into it with the opposition in this postseason. There was the jawing with John Wall. The remarks for Kelly Oubre Jr. where he yelled, you're a bum. Now, you know where I come out on people calling each other bums. Let me make this very clear, though. John Wall and Kelly Oubre Jr. are not Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins is built like a Mack truck. I would sooner throw with a Mack truck traveling at 50 miles per hour than I would with Kendrick Perkins. I would have a better chance of beating LeBron one-on-one than Drake has of beating Perkins in a fight. Jawing with Perkins at halftime is one thing. Doing it again after the game, especially after that game where your team just lost in brutal fashion, is even worse. But it happened again. Now, I don't know who started it, but it better not have been Drake. Not after how that game ended. If your team loses the way your team lost and Perk talks some junk on the way by, you smile and you wave. That's not what happened. Both guys were going at each other, and Drake started to follow Perkins into the tunnel. According to Toronto Star columnist Bruce Arthur, quote, this went all the way into the tunnel with Drake calling Perkins a bleeping bleep and calling for him to come out. I'm here in real life, he said. He was mad. I mean, I understand that you're here in real life, but Drake, I want you to be here in real life for a long life. I mean, a long time. I know you love the Raptors. I respect that. I want you to have your team's back. I really do. But nobody wants to see you eating your lunch through a straw. Because if you keep barking at Perk, there's a chance that that's exactly what's going to happen. Especially when he wasn't even barking at you in the first place. If Kendrick Perkins is talking junk to his dude Surge, let Kendrick Perkins talk junk to his dude Surge. I mean, if that's the case, Drake should probably talk junk to Surge as well. What I'm saying is, whatever you do, do not be on the wrong side or the opposite side of Kendrick Perkins. And if you're getting the sense that I respect this guy, it's because I do. Best part of the whole scene is, as the Cavs were getting ready to leave the locker room and head for the bus, a member of the team security staff asked Perk if he wanted an escort to the bus. I mean, sorry, you're asking Kendrick Perkins if he needs security. Kendrick Perkins is security. That's why he's there. He's security personified. He's not with the Cavs to be a security guard. But he also doesn't need a security guard to be with the Cavs. Actually, part of the reason he is there is to be a security guard for the other guys on the team. Of course, Perk shook it off. Quote, I'm fine. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? If he's smart, nothing. If he's really smart, apologize. Drake, you don't want any of that. Why are you doing that? Why are you going there? This is not John Wall. This is not Kelly Oubre Jr. I mean, what's next? You're going to roll up on Charles Oakley? Your team's got a lot to worry about right now. Don't give me anything else. And you really don't want me talking junk if you come from ahead to melt down like that. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see. Not taking that call. Not taking that call. Don't really want to take that call. Man, that thing turned sour fast. From great to bad. This email says, Drake is just a glorified poser who at the most would last 10 seconds in a fight with Kendrick Perkins. And that's if Drake doesn't run from Perkins first. All because the Raptors once again got owned by Cleveland, once again in an epic choke job fashion. George and C-Bus. Yeah, again, I mean, Drake's kind of a polarizing figure. You like him or you really don't like him. I'm neither. I don't care. I don't have a dog in that fight. I don't even have an opinion. Like I said, Drake's never done anything to me. I don't care. But some free advice. Don't mess with Perk. Number one, he's not messing with you. And number two, it's not going to go well for you. It'd be one thing if Perk singled Drake out, but he didn't. He was talking junk to his dude, a former teammate. At Steve, PHX, tweets, Ward Kendrick Perkins picking up Drake and using him to wipe the sweat off his face. It's Sean Beasy, tweets, Drake told Kendrick Perkins that he had some donuts for him. Wore Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
I don't think that's what he said. Maybe, but I don't think so. Now, this dude had this for DeMarcus Cousins, for sure. Today would be fine, Alvy. Tomorrow, if you want. Krispy Kreme, Alvy!
Krispy Kreme, fat boy!
Was that so hard, Alvin? Raptors fans, notice I skipped ahead of the game. That's probably in your best interest. I didn't talk about what happened last night. When everything was going to be different and nothing changed. D-Rod2203 tweets, that bandwagoner Aubrey needs to go back to the Degrassi set. He just Aubrey'd him. Again, I don't have any issue with Drake. I'm just trying to help. Why are you going to mess with Kendrick Perkins? Kevin Knifley, I'd really like to see somebody punch Drake in the face. This is what I'm saying. He's a polarizing cat.
I just want somebody to punch him in the
face. People like him. People really don't like him. I would not start a fight with Kendrick Perkins. Especially when Kendrick Perkins is not messing with you. John Lynch joins me when we come back. Josh Jackson of the Packers right after that. Stay tuned. Hour number three, straight ahead.